Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 206. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with security news writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Never a dull moment in Breach World.
Yeah. A lot going on. A lot of little stuff going on. We are recording this on the 22nd of March.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sunny morning here in the Boston area. Yep. Sunny Wednesday morning. And some new developments in the DC HealthLink, I guess the greater DC HealthLink story. We had some important news happen, I guess, last week and then into this week regarding Breach Forums, the dark web forum / marketplace that was at the heart of the DC HealthLink story. Alex, you covered this for us. Talk to me. Talk to me, Goose. Tell me what's going on with with Breach Forums.
Finally, a reference to a movie. Yes. I've seen.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So this breach was not top fun, as you might say.
No. Nice.
Thanks. I think the last podcast episode we did was about the DC HealthLink breach, which is the public-private health insurance exchange in Washington, D.C. Facilitates the insurance for a lot of members of Congress, their staff, and their family, as well as over 100,000 D.C. residents in various capacities. That got breached a few weeks ago, or the breach became known a few weeks ago, and the data from the breach was sold on the dark web forum, Breach Forums. It was offered for sale. And I believe about 9-10 days after it became known that this breach had happened, the FBI arrested the suspected owner and administrator of Breach Forums.
Mm-hmm. Alleged. Yep.
Alleged. And it should be noted that we only have an affidavit so far, and the affidavit does not mention this breach or any other specific breach. It does seem like there is a warrant that exists, but I don't think that has been uploaded publicly to date, as far as we know. So we don't know the exact context for how the FBI obtained, how they managed to track this person. But the FBI arrested on March 15th, Mr. Connor Brian Fitzpatrick, a 21-year-old from Peekskill, New York, 20 or 21-year-old from Peekskill, New York, who is the operator and founder, I believe, of Breach Forums, which is the successor to Raid Forums, which was taken down last year, a similar young dark web forum operator who was arrested in the UK, also was like 20, 21 years old. And he went by the alias Pom Pom Purin, and which I didn't Google what it was a reference to, but it sounds like a nerd thing, if I was to guess.
Yes. Allegedly was operating under the handle Pom Pom Purin. Yes.
Yes. And we don't know a ton on the FBI side, other than John Longmire, the FBI agent who sort of led the law enforcement arrest of Fitzpatrick. We do know from the affidavit that Fitzpatrick told Longmire, allegedly, that his name was Connor Brian Fitzpatrick, that he went by that alias, and that he was the owner and administrator of Breach Forums, which is a lot to give up immediately. That's like the most you could give up immediately, which sort of, if I'm painting a picture in my head, I'm seeing like nice suburban quiet home, lives at his parents' house, which based on other news reporting seems to be the case. And and it's just, there's a sting operation to arrest this guy. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But we do know on the Breach Forum side that another user who goes by the name Baphomet said that, all right, it seems based on news reporting that Palm, as this guy was referring to Fitzpatrick, was arrested and I'll be taking over the forum. Baphomet said that they had revoked Pom-Pom Porn's admin privileges. They were monitoring logs and infrastructure for signs of law enforcement, and they had taken down the forum in order to, I think, monitor stuff and then also migrate some servers, some forums to be less, I'd say, law enforcement friendly. But a few days later, or maybe a day or two later, I think maybe actually one day later, Baphomet came back and basically said, yeah, we're going offline permanently. It seems pretty likely that someone got Palm's hardware to some extent.
Yep.
And it's just better to be on the safe side and shut this down, which is from their perspective, probably the right thing to do. Because you may think of a forum and go like, oh, you got this whole infrastructure. That must suck to take it down. They'll just probably clone it and do it somewhere else.
Right, right.
Or there'll be another forum in a month that's doing the exact same thing and ramps up its users pretty quickly. So that's kind of where it is there was this DC HealthLink breach that the data was sold on this forum. And then 9 to 10 days later, seemingly coincidentally, there was this arrest of the operator of the forum where someone was attempting to sell the DC HealthLink data. And then a day or two later, out of legal concern reasons or whatever, the successor owner shut down the forum permanently. So I turn to you, Rob, and I say, we don't know a lot that's going on definitively, but based on what we know, what do you think is going on here?
Well, let me turn it back a little ways to the point you made about the actual arrest of Fitzpatrick. What is he doing? Why is he admitting, you know, according to the affidavit from the law enforcement agent from Longmire, why would you admit that you are Pom-Pom Purin and that you're the owner and administrator of Breach Forms? That is befuddling. That is very, very confusing to me. Nice house, by the way. Did you see the video, local news video of the of the bust of the raid? Nice looking house.
Good square footage.
Yeah, well, I mean, we couldn't see inside the house, but you know, decent.
It looked good size. Yeah,
decent looking digs. Yeah. So that struck me. I'm not really sure why Fitzpatrick would admit such a thing.
Maybe he was, he's a kid, right? He's scared. Yeah,
sure, but even if you think you're like you, they've got you dead to rights. I mean, how many defense attorneys, how many legal experts say, don't say anything. Don't open your mouth. This is why attorneys hate their clients, because they say things like this, because they have, like, you know, the FTX guy writing a blog and divulging information, doing interviews and divulging information, texting people and talking about stuff that he should not be divulging. Oh, God. Anyway, that aside, it initially struck me that the owner of this dark web marketplace, like that, as you noted correctly, was the successor to the infamous, very popular dark web marketplace Raid Forums. I was a little surprised that the person who was running it was stateside, just up in Peekskill in a nice house, hanging out, doing business. And then as I was editing your story, Alex, I kind of, it suddenly clicked for me. I'm like, oh, I remember this guy. He was the hacker behind a couple of pretty notable breaches. One of them, most the most high profile, I would say, was the hack of the FBI email system, I think, which sent out, you know, fake emails or alerts or whatever, back in 21, I believe. And at the time, I remember reading reports from different, you know, threat researchers, threat intelligence firms, among them Flashpoint, saying this guy's well known. He is an English-speaking threat actor. He's active on English and Russian language forums, but, you know, he's basically saying that this is an English-speaking individual, not a, you know, somebody from Eastern Europe or some other, you know, far flung region. And I was a little surprised by that, because I guess, you know, the misconception I have, and probably a lot of people have, is that a lot of the cybercrime is like centered in other regions, specifically and probably most notably Eastern Europe, and that they're Russian speaking, and then, you know, that there's, you know, this sort of thing isn't being done here. Not that it's not being done here, but it's not right on the same level. And lo and behold, you have this guy, again, just sitting in Peekskill, running this forum that is deeply connected to a very, very serious breach that the government is taking very, very seriously. So not a great look. Were you surprised that this was, you know, allegedly the culprit behind breach forms? This is just a kid hanging out in New York.
Yes and no. Yes, okay. Because it's always surprising when, like, I'm 28, and I think the idea of someone operating this whole community 7 years younger than me, I'm just like, wow, that feels very unbelievable. But on the other hand, if you look back in the future of cybercrime in various formats, and you know this better than me, there are a lot of folks like this. Now, they're not necessarily from New York all the time. Sometimes they're from Eastern Europe. Sometimes they're in other places. But sometimes they are based in the U.S. And it's like a 4chan guy who ends up getting pretty good at running a website and realizes they can make money doing something that seems pretty cool, and you end up here. Like, one thing leads to another and you end up here, and it's not necessary. I don't know how common it is, and it still surprises me whenever something like this happens, but I think it does happen, and it's almost more surprising that this isn't unprecedented.
Yeah, I think we need to do a better job with, like, maybe with recruiting, outreach, career day. I don't know, something. Because, I mean, again, you know, to your point about 4chan and some people that are very online.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can start a forum and set up a Tor browser and get some hidden services. But, you know, this guy, allegedly, Fitzpatrick, was, displayed some skill with this FBI hack. I mean, like, and some gusto, too, let's be honest. Getting access to the FBI's email servers, sending out fake security advisories. I mean, for whatever reason, whether it's lulls or whatever, you know, some skill involved there. And it's too bad that 20, 21-year-old whatever is just like, I'm going to go into a life of cybercrime. Mm-hmm. And Peekskill, man. What's going on up there?
I actually have a question for you. Yeah. I'm curious if you know this, but and it's, of course, it's okay if you don't, but in these cases where you have a 20-something who ends up getting caught in this kind of situation, I guess it all depends on, like, how much evidence there is and severity. But what's the precedent for these kinds of crimes? Not necessarily the crimes themselves, but given he's, like, a young kid, and, like, how long do you think he's going? to be incarcerated for if he gets convicted? Because the one I'm thinking of is Ross from the like Ulbrich, I think his name is, from the Silk Road, who's gonna apparently be in prison for the rest of his life. But that was drug related, which is a different thing. So I'm just curious, what do you think's happening here?
I think it's hard to generalize here because you really have to look at, you know, the specific activity that they're alleging, and the specific cases that they're being charged with, or that the authorities are trying to pin on them. And then you also have to take into account, you know, whether a prosecutor is maybe a little overzealous and is trying to throw the book at someone. So for example, years ago when there was the, you know, those DDoS attacks, and I'm trying to remember the name of the, it's a Mirai botnet. You know, the Mirai botnet was started by a couple of kids basically. And they created this program to like co-opt, you know, dumb, insecure IoT devices, whether it was a, you know, webcam or, you know, DVRs or routers or whatever, and use them to run DDoS, powerful DDoS attacks on, I think it was YouTube Minecrafters. Like, okay. You know, good skill, good ingenuity, guys, but like, you know, and that code, that the Mirai botnet, that software got, I'm trying to remember if they accidentally exposed it or someone just swiped it or what the series of events there were. But, you know, that botnet got out in the open and people started using variations of it to commit, you know, very, very disruptive DDoS attacks on internet service providers, and caused a lot of misery. You know, misery relative term. Those guys got charged with crimes, but I mean, they ended up going to work for the FBI, like assisting the FBI. I don't think they did any jail time. I think it was just a matter of like, they're on probation and they have to help the FBI, and they're going to be under the watchful eye of law enforcement. For something like this, for someone running a forum like this and having the FBI email, man, I don't want to speculate, but I just in general, I think it is probably going to be harsher than something like that. Who knows, really? I mean, it also depends on like, you know, maybe this guy, when federal agents showed up, maybe he was like, I'm nabbed and I'm going to cooperate. And that's why he owned up. Who knows? If he cooperates, could be a lot less. And, you know, I guess we'll have some indication of that as this story develops further. But right. Yeah. It's really, I mean, you get some prosecutors that go absolutely overboard with charges on certain crimes and certain people in certain circumstances. And others, you have people that are more lenient and say, you know, these are young kids. I mean, look at Marcus Hutchins, you know. I mean, that was a famous case. The guy stopped the WannaCry ransomware. Like, he was considered a hero in many circles. And then he was charged with the feds for, I'm trying to remember the name of the banking Trojan. But there's extenuating circumstances in all of these cases. So it's tough to say, you know, what might happen with Fitzpatrick here. But I would say it's not looking great. And if I had to guess whether it would be harsher or more lenient, it's probably going to be on the harsher side. Harsher. More harsh? I guess I should know this, right? I'm an editor.
Well, isn't it funny that once you get in your lane for so long, there are like lessons from eighth grade English class you just forget?
I think it's more harsh. I don't have the energy to Google, and it doesn't make for great podcasting anyway. So,
So if he does cut a deal, wouldn't that limit the harshness to some extent?
Yeah.
I'm guessing maybe, I'm not guessing, I wonder if maybe they went after this kid because he was accessible. He didn't prioritize OPSEC like Baphomet said he did. Mm-hmm. And maybe if he is arrested now, that'll allow him to give up some other players, which would get to the center of the DC health link. You got to want, and if they're relying on this guy for that, then you gotta wonder that if he gets a lawyer, and obviously living in suburban New York, he'll probably have a decent lawyer.
Yeah.
I could see this being a less harsh situation. Mm-hmm. Or there's ways to imagine it. We don't know anything, but there are ways to imagine it, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen. I also want to just, I want to weigh in a little bit because there's another question I want to get to here in a second. But before I get to that question, I think it's notable to kind of to just touch on the fact that it doesn't seem like these guys are afraid to do this stuff. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. Obviously, cybercrime is a big business and there's a lot of people that are attracted to it. But like, even just, you know, Baphomet's initial response there didn't, I mean, yes, you could be putting on an act, you could be putting up a front, like nothing to see here, even though you're privately very concerned. It seemed really confident, you know, that initial response. Don't worry, we've planned for this, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it just, it doesn't seem like they are in any way intimidated or fearful of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. There may be some stuff that breaks a little bit, but I'll make sure everyone is aware, you know, that you know, we'll be back online. The forum will be back. I mean, it's like they're not afraid, you know, they're not intimidated by, and we've seen law enforcement actions stepped up here a lot over the last couple of years. Right.
Right.
But it still doesn't seem like that they're having any effect on the psyche of folks like this. They don't seem intimidated or fearful at all. I think that's pretty notable. Like they're not, you know, granted there's the post, the follow-up post saying, yeah, we gotta work on OPSEC or whatever, you know, I'm going to start a new forum and so on and so forth. Clearly they recognize, you know, Baphomet recognizes now that the infrastructure is probably compromised and that you got to scatter into the wind. But I don't know. I just thought that was pretty noteworthy. Mm-hmm. They're not sweating the law enforcement. It's just weird. It's given the number of people that have been indicted, arrested, and forums that have been seized or sites that have been seized, I would have thought maybe a little bit more caution or whatever, but maybe it just hasn't translated yet. I do want to ask you about, so there was a story, I believe it was in the Washington Post. Let me see if I can find it. About, you know, how this breached forums takedown, you know, the voluntary takedown could make a pretty big impact for cybercrime. I don't know that I necessarily agree, but I thought it was a good article by Tim Starks, Washington Post. It was a good read. I think, like I said, interesting case to be made for it. But I don't know. What do you think?
So I haven't read the article, so I don't want to speak for the author, but the idea is that because this was taken down, it'll take a bite out of crime, as you would say. Okay, I disagree, and for two reasons. If we're just talking about that base premise alone, the first is that it sounds like the people or the person, Baphomet, who was running the show at this point, was very smart and cared a lot about, at the first drop that things could be compromised, shutting it all down.
Yep.
And doing something else. So that's one. is because I think that's less taking a bite out of crime and more showing the adaptive nature of some of these folks. The second point is the adaptive nature of cyber criminals. Unless they all go to jail and lose access to their computers, like, and as long as they feel they can still do the cyber crime and it's profitable and there's not an enormous risk of them getting caught, as long as they sort of do their due diligence, I think they'll just go to another forum. I think maybe this could slow it down for a minute as they ramp up and build a new forum. But if we're talking a slightly more macro scale, like, no way. I don't see this on its own stopping anything. They arrested a pretty smart 21-year-old and indirectly caused a forum to get shut down. Like, I don't think that on its own is suggestive of much. But that's me again without reading the story. What's your take?
I mostly agree, although I'll point out a couple things from Starks' story here. Mm-hmm. He quotes someone from an analyst, Alex Leslie from Recorded Future, basically saying that Baphomet doesn't have the same trust that Pompom Purin did, mm-hmm. and that it's going to hurt the breach forums, the community's morale, and because they don't know how compromised. And there's the additional feedback in the story here about, I think it's from Brett Callow from MSSoft, basically saying, all right, if Baphomet is admitting that they got into, because in that update, he says, like, I think they got into, they logged into Fitzpatrick or Pompom Purin's, allegedly, Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. his infrastructure. Then they could have information on the account users, the members of the forum. And who knows? I mean, it's supposed to be anonymous, but, like, don't you think that some of these more extensive dark web marketplaces they must have some intelligence, some data on specific members, who they might be, or if they have a name for them, or an identity of some sort.
No, I think there's a good point. Yeah. I think there's a good point because I would trust the prominent users of this forum to cover their traces and use end-to-end everything more than I would trust necessarily ransomware actor, right. like the odd ransomware actor to do it.
Yeah.
But on a sheer numbers basis, if there is data that's obtained, there's probably something usable for something. I mean, just on a sheer quantity basis. So maybe you're right.
Yeah. I want to believe, I want, Fox Mulder, X-Files, I want to believe that this is like going to be a seriously disruptive development for the cybercrime ecosystem. And it could mm-hmm. be, it could be. So, one thing I'll add, we don't really know yet, just as an update. We don't know any more really about how the threat actors got into DC HealthLink. There's some additional stories here, one from CyberScoop and one from, I think, databreaches.net, where they spoke with, or I guess interviewed, Denver, the threat actor / breach forum member who was selling or posting some of the data from the DC HealthLink breach, who is purportedly friends with the initial threat actor, the access broker, I guess, who goes by Intel Broker, very original name. And that they've just said, or Denver has said, that same thing as indicated before on the breach forum post, which we covered previously, that they did some searching, they found an exposed database, no authentication requirements, and they just lifted the health data from all these users right out from under DC HealthLink in a huge unforced error. Still no word on what type of database it was, whether it was Amazon, whether it was another third party or different cloud provider. No information as of yet. I find these interviews, having read them, to be I'm a little skeptical of some of the accounts presented by mm-hmm. Denver in these, but seems to have a lot of information about what went on. So stay tuned for more on that front, because I'm sure information is going to come out at some point about what went wrong with this data breach, whether it was an actual data breach or whether it was a data exposure and these guys just came in and lifted the data. So quick update on that. But I think that's it for now. I think we'll see what the charges are going to be for Fitzpatrick. But for now, breach forums is no more. And I'm sure something will pop up in its place at some point. But big development. Big development.
Yeah, I'm sure this isn't the last we're talking about this. No. I don't know when we'll talk about it again, but I think we'll talk about it again.
No. Yeah, I agree. Well, Alex, thank you for joining me on this latest pod to discuss breach forums.
Anytime. Yeah.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Tech Target Security and the Risk and Repeat podcast. I'm Rob Wright, and we'll see you next time.